Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Shuzhank, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Deka. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Right on. And today's Thursday, so we have Robert Lilgren with us, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And before we get to Robert, and I'm glad he's on, he can help us. We're going to be listening to the governor of the great state of Wisconsin here in just a second. My phone fell asleep, so I'm sorry about that. Here we go. It's the governor of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers.
Hey, our Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. And I have great news for working families across our state. I was excited this week to sign bipartisan legislation to expand our state's child and dependent care tax credit and reduce the burden on families struggling with the high cost of child care. This will go a long way toward defraying yearly family expenses for child care, giving Wisconsinites some breathing room in their household budgets, and making sure our kids have the early support and care they need. Simply put, the cost of child care in this state is too darn high. Making quality child care more affordable across Wisconsin is not just about doing what's best for our kids. It's also critical for keeping more folks and parents in our state's workforce, too. So we're expanding the current law non-refundable child and dependent care tax credit from 50% of the federal credit to 100% of it. We're also increasing the maximum qualifying expenses that may be claimed for one child from $3,000 to $10,000, and for two or more kids from $6,000 to $20,000. That means more than 110,000 Wisconsin taxpayers will see an average benefit of $656 per filer, providing nearly $73 million in annual tax relief to folks across our state through the bill I signed this week. And that's great news, Wisconsin. But I also know there's more work to be done. We need urgent long-term investments to further reduce out-of-pocket child care costs for working families and ensure child care providers can keep their doors open so that we can maintain our current levels of workforce participation. And I'm ready to work with anyone from either side of the aisle to get this done. So let's get to work, folks. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow. And let me bring on Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. There's Democrats doing it again.
I know. Wisconsin is so fortunate to have a governor like Tony Evers, and really his willingness to take leadership on some of these hugely important progressive issues and what could be more important than children, right?
Absolutely. And just before we get on with your report, I just was thinking that right during COVID and after COVID, there was no health care, and there's in places and people, the businesses were shut down. And I know when Ogama worked with us, she could not find anybody up in the deep north.
Right. Those geographic limits to access mm-hmm. to healthcare are incredible. I was just reading, you know, how many birthing centers and natal care facilities are closing in the rural areas here. It's just, I don't know what folks who live out in the rural areas do.
You're right.
For healthcare. If you have to drive an hour to a hospital where you can give birth, I mean, that can be significant things can happen in that hour.
Absolutely. And then me being an old person, I want to live as close to the hospital as I can.
I hear you've been checking out real estate listings across the street from hospitals.
Yeah, there you go. I just put up a side by side.
Right.
Stay there when I eat unhealthy. So just in case, you know, but that's a whole nother show. Hey, Robert, what's happening? Can we talk a little bit before we get on the what's great things that are happening on the Avenue? We just had our Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts about what happened here in Minnesota, especially?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm still kind of parsing through numbers here in Minnesota, numbers nationally. Of course, what I'm interested in, and I think most people are the November elections.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we learn on Super Tuesday that might inform how we can make sure we perform well in November. And I'm not quite there. It's, you know, a couple of things that I've noticed. One is that how much higher the Republican primary turnout was than the Democratic. And that seems consistent pretty much across the country. And of course, on the Republican side, there was at least the semblance of a competitive race, right? And that generates turnout. But, you know, I think that's something we need to be aware of and making sure that we're exciting progressive voters enough to get to the polls. And then the other really interesting thing that happened in Michigan, it happened in Minnesota as well, is and the incredible organizing that went around that, people protesting mostly Biden's position on Israel and Gaza. And I think it's a very sophisticated protest vote, right? Yeah. It's not saying we're not going to vote for you.
Right.
We didn't vote for somebody else, which sends a different message, right? But it was more, you know, we have these concerns and we want to know what you're going to do about them. And so in Michigan, I think it was 100,000 plus voters voted none of the above. And in Minnesota, I think it was 46,000.
Yeah.
Consider the campaign a success.
They were hoping for 9,000 and they got darn near 50,000 here in Minnesota. And I don't know, did I read somewhere that they had just started this campaign like a couple weeks before the election?
Yep. I think it was really kind of sparked by what happened in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the map just this morning, and again, I haven't spent as much time as I've wanted to on the Super Tuesday primary results, but of course, the metro area is the base of the somebody else vote campaign, but it's really scattered, I'll tell you, Robert. I mean, it's throughout the state. Mm-hmm. There are precincts and others that voted that way, and so that's going to be interesting. You know, I suspect that we'll see a significant shift from the Biden administration, and not just because of these protest votes, but because it's just a bad situation, right?
Right.
And it's hard to stand with your allies when they're behaving like that. So we'll see what the administration does. I suspect they're going to do something.
Well, isn't tonight the State of the Union address?
Yeah.
And we have to see what he's going to say, if it's the first beginning of his campaign against Trump and bring out the differences and how the economy's doing well, how we have most the biggest growth in economy in 50 years, and all these things that people just worry about. I'm paying a dollar more for a dozen eggs and not looking at the big picture. So those aren't the people like you and me that are like, I'm listening and reading every day about what's happening politically.
Right, right. And this narrative, right, this will be an opportunity for President Biden to at least restate the narrative. Mm-hmm. So much of what he's getting attacked on, the economy, for example, inflation, unemployment, those are really healthy right now. And it doesn't necessarily feel that way to everyone, and I understand that. And it's important for us to be dealing with facts.
Right.
Public safety, you know, crime is much higher in red states and in red cities than in blue ones. So just to kind of at least put an alternate narrative out there, and I'm looking forward to it. And now I think with the results of the primary, with Nikki Haley dropping out of the Republican race, I think there's going to be a chunk of voters that are kind of looking around and saying, okay, is Biden the choice? And tonight's his opportunity to make that argument.
Well, we're going to take a break here real quick, but I let's talk a little bit about the way it used to be. And used to be we had moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans, and they changed the presidency all the time. So let's talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO and president. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, O'Keezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th in Minneapolis.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and he's the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, right down the Native corridor down in Minneapolis. Hey, Robert, I got a quick question before we go on. We had a guest on that did some short stories, and we put up a picture of the corridor up that somebody drew. Who drew that? That's on your website.
So is it like a rendering, kind of almost like an architect? So that would have been drawn by Sam Olbeckson,
cool.
A White Earth brother. He's so talented. And one of the nation's really premier Native architects. He's Harvard educated. He happens to be the chair of NACD's board. He's also the chair of the Minneapolis American Indian Center board. And he's the architect for, maybe half a dozen Native projects going on right here in the urban Indian community and then nationally. He's very in demand architect.
Oh. Is he doing Maggie Lorenz's building too?
Yes.
Okay, I've met him. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Wow. That's Walk on Teepee, which is an incredible reclaiming of some sacred Dakota space along the Mississippi River in St. Paul.
Absolutely. You know, it's really great, Robert. I just got to say this. You went to Brown Institute back in the 70s, and I tried out to go to Brown Institute, and I was sweating bullets. I might have been hungover, I think it was 18, and the guy that I read for was the weatherman on Channel 5.
Sure.
He told me, you got a great voice. Go home and read the paper for a couple weeks and come back.
Good advice.
Read it out loud. And what's funny is that I can see your training because you really helped me out and explain things to our listeners. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. No, not that you need that kind of help. And I think I got into Brown Institute because it's a high-profile broadcaster school here in Minneapolis. And because I was a NEPO. I was a NEPO applicant. My dad is an alum of Brown Institute. And
what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you knew that. And he was very high profile. He was a huge success story of the program. So.
Well, I didn't know Brown was around that long. And I'd listened to your father on radio as long as I was a little kid. My dad had it on WCCO every morning, like probably 95% of everybody in the state.
Yeah. I told you back in the day. So WCCO radio back in the day here, it's a mammoth AM station. And it was almost like a network, right? Mm-hmm. And it dominated the airwaves throughout the Midwest. And actually, you could pick it up pretty much nationally. And it's amazing. You have to be a certain age to have listened to them, but it's amazing how many people still come up to me. Oh, I listen to your dad every morning, and how much of a part of their lives he was.
And also, too, I know you've mentioned this on our show, but it's worth mentioning again that once he retired, he really gave back to the community with the language and teaching the language.
Yeah, he became really engaged in language reclamation. And this was even while he was still on the radio.
Oh.
And back maybe even in the 70s, but certainly in the 80s and 90s, he was present at a lot of language tables, Ojibwe language tables. And you know, I remember my mom would make a big kettle of chili or soup or something that he would take to language table. And he really enjoyed it. He was an incredible Ojibwe speaker. He was super modest about how well he spoke. And I'll tell you this, Robert, there are really high-profile speakers today, fairly young ones like James Ushulich and others, who have come up to me and said, oh, I went to your language table with your father.
Wow.
And he was so helpful and so encouraging. And he's one of the reasons that I speak today. People like Elizabeth Day, Hyde Erdrich, people like that, that I thought would be too young to have been during his era. But, you know, he quietly had impact in language reclamation when we really needed it.
Yes, definitely. And you're a chip off the old block for all the good work that you do in the community. Definitely.
Yeah, you're so kind. I don't speak Ojibwe worth anything, but I can understand it. But my dad was really an incredible Ojibwe speaker.
Yeah, and you're incredible for the community is what I meant.
You're very kind.
So before we get back to what's happening in the Avenue, which I really love to always touch base on because it's the corridor, the Native corridor of Minnesota, basically. We need to engage our voters. We need to tell people not to listen to the media, the mass media, because they loved it when Trump was out there making noise. Their ratings were sky high, so they have things that they have their own agenda here, and a lot of it isn't the news. And I mean, if you were to introduce Trump now, I think he has so much baggage that you could introduce him with as a rapist, as owes $500 million in fines, 91, you know, all these things that they aren't talking about, but they do talk about Biden's age.
Right. So, and they're only within 4 years apart, right? And when they ran against each other 4 years ago, they were the oldest candidates for president in history. So now they beat their own record by 4 years. And so, you know, to me, that age piece kind of cancels each other out, and you need to be looking at other attributes. And you know, I've been reading a lot of folks are analyzing their mental states, both Trump's and Biden's, because of their ages. And I've read a couple of interesting pieces about, you know, Biden's aging, his brain's aging like a brain does. But one essayist wrote, Trump's brain is dementing.
Yeah.
So his mental processes are actually deteriorating, and then they cite all these examples. And so, you know, so the age piece is what it is. We can't change our ages, right? And so we need to look at the things that you were talking about in the last segment, you know, the economy, inflation, crime, all these indicators that are actually really positive or more positive through the Biden administration.
Well, and I got to say this too, Robert, this has been brought up on, I wish I would have came up with this, but this has been brought up on our show before. And that's when you're a Native American specifically, who do you go talk to? You go talk to an elder and somebody with all this knowledge.
Right.
And you don't discount them like they are in the press.
That is such a good point. And, you know, we're in our junior elder years now. And I know that we've had conversations before that. We both take that seriously, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a good elder? You know, how do we best support the next generations into realizing their visions? And how do we make space for those next generations that are coming up? And I know that you and I and lots of other aging Native leadership take these considerations very seriously.
Right. And, you know, we don't judge our elders or our lead elders that they're slowed down or anything. We appreciate that they pause and think deeply about responses as the president does.
Right, right. We accommodate them, right? We accommodate the phase of life that we're in. I mean, one of the things that Native listeners will be aware of is, you know, at a community event, a feast, a gathering, elders eat first, right? And younger people will bring elders their plate once the prayers have been said and things. And and that makes, you know, means elders don't have to disrupt what they're doing. They don't have to go stand in line. They don't have to spend precious time or energy doing that. And I'll never forget, this was a while ago, like probably 12 years or so ago. I was still on Minneapolis City Council at the time, and I was at a big community feast at the Indian Center here, and I was sitting there talking to someone, and dinner, or the feast was served, and I have, of course, I just keep talking, I'm connecting with people, and all of a sudden, a young person comes up and sets a plate of food down in front of me. That was the first time that it happened. I'm like, oh, we're at this point now.
Well, when you're 55, you can get a discount at Goodwill. So I was like, but yeah, I had to stop dyeing my goatee so people would think I was elder.
So in my tribe, 55 is the threshold to become an elder. So I've been an elder in my tribe for what, 9 years, something? No, yeah.
You're 63.
63, right. I just couldn't do the math very quickly. Eight years. Oh, I don't even remember that. The White Earth office was down here doing tribal IDs and other administrative things. And so I went in to get my new ID, and I turned in my old one. And the person working behind the desk said, oh, you're eligible for your elder's card. No. Yay. What does that get me? A discount at Goodwill, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, we only got like a minute left, and sure. I'd really love to hear what you what's going on the avenue today and tonight.
Sure. Yeah, well, one of the huge things going on is that we're welcoming a new lead CEO at one of our really prominent organizations, the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And this is very prominent. Their primary mission is to provide services to women, mostly Native women, who are living in abusive situations or unsheltered and need help. But they also have done groundbreaking work around missing and murdered Indigenous women relatives and research. So their new lead is Ruth Buffalo.
Yeah.
Who many folks know, former North Dakota legislator. And I am just thrilled to welcome her to the community here. And I feel like her young leadership and youthful, more youthful energy is really going to have impact here in the Twin Cities community.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll be looking forward to tonight. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Women's Resource Center at 2300 15th Avenue in Minneapolis. And we'll see you there, Robert.
Yeah, see you there.
Big Peeny Gee, thanks for being on as always.
Always a pleasure. Giga Waba, man.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have a guest on. His name's Greg Aronson, and he is a lawyer. And we like having lawyers on if they have good news. And this sounds like good news. He's working with the Interfaith Action, and that's interfaithaction.org. And we're talking about some free services, and it's kind of fun to say it's a pop-up legal clinic, and we understand that. And I want to welcome you onto the show, and it sounds like you got some really great information for people specifically in St. Paul here in Minnesota, but I think it's just a beautiful thing, and let's talk about it. Welcome, Greg.
Well, thank you both for having me. It's very nice to meet you both. And also, we're recording this on MLK Day, so I'd like to wish you all a meaningful MLK Day as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I appreciate that too. this is a thing that definitely needs to happen, and I'm glad it's taken a long time, but happy MLK Day to you too and everybody that's listening to Native Roots Radio today. Hey, let's talk about this pop-up clinic, and I kind of like to go through who it is, what it is, and then who's who you're looking to help, and let's talk about who it is.
So, thank you. So this is the Power Up Clinic. The Power Up Clinic is a space where folks can come for free legal assistance. And it's really a wonderful thing. People can come. They're on Thursdays, and the dates are listed on the Power Up Clinic portion of the interfaithaction.org website. And people can come in with any questions. We pair folks who need help with lawyers who are available to do it. And it's really a beautiful thing. People sometimes don't know what their rights are, or they have just general questions. And it's really a great first stop to triage all sorts of issues that folks have. And the clients are anybody who shows up. We typically serve the folks in Greater St. Paul area, but you show up to Progressive Baptist Church. That's on Burns Avenue in St. Paul. It's really wonderful, church. Good people there, and we have a representative there from the Southern Minnesota Regional Legal Services, SMRLS, SMRLS, and you do an intake, and then if we can help you, then we pair you up with an attorney who's on volunteering that day, and it's a free one-time legal services conversation, and hopefully we can help you work on the legal issue or help you find the resources you need and point you in the right direction. So it's really great. A little bit of time goes a long way for a lot of folks. And it could be any issue. We do landlord-tenant issues, sometimes debt collection. If you have questions about contracts, employment, if you were sued, civil legal rights issues. So it's really any question you might have. Show up to the Progressive Baptist Church. They're on particular Thursdays. The dates are listed on interfaithaction.org and the Power Up Clinic. So it's
and we have the dates in front of us, don't we, Haley? You want to just shoot those out? They're Thursdays.
Absolutely. So the next one coming up would be this Thursday, January 18th, as well as February 1st, February 15th, and February 29th. And you can also check out the website at interfaithaction.org for any dates beyond February. Greg, also, I know that people can come in person on these days for the clinic at Progressive Baptist Church, which is 1505 Burns Avenue in St. Paul, but they can also reach out by phone. Is that correct?
So really the best way to get paired up with legal services is to show up on those Thursdays. If you need help and you can't show up, go ahead and call and ask questions. We can be, we're here to serve. So that we're trying to connect folks who don't have access to legal services with access, and we're going to do our best to serve the community in the way we can. I will say that just a little more information about the folks who are there. The lawyers that we currently have volunteering are through the Cardozo Society. And the Cardozo Society is a legal affiliate group of Jewish lawyers and judges and law students who do community service and philanthropy work. And so we're also working to build really meaningful relationships with other partnership organizations, including the St. Paul Black Interdenominational Minister Alliance, SBIMA, and SMRLS, Interfaith Action, as well as MABLE, the Minnesota the Black Lawyers Association group too. And we're trying to build bridges and really at the end of the day, help folks. Complex issues.
I really kind of zoomed in on what you talked about. You know, people have questions about maybe landlord and the tenant rights. I think that's a really important one, and I hope people key in on that. Also, I'm wondering, is there any help with like living wills or anything like that? Because I know, for instance, I really don't know what direction to go personally on that, and I want to leave some of it to Haley, but not all of it. Oh,
Thank you.
Yeah. So, that's a great question. And we can triage just about any legal issue. And if we can't totally complete the work in a one-time free legal session, we can help you find the services to keep moving forward and give advice in that direction. A lot of times, people come in, they don't even know where to start. People don't even know what their rights are. They don't even know what questions to ask. So what we do at the first place is just listen, introduce ourselves, and people can share what they're thinking about, what they're dealing with, and we can spot legal issues that we're trained to spot and start to figure out, okay, let's formulate a plan to address whatever needs people might walk in the door with. And, you know, the other thing is this is a one-time, clinic session, but we also sometimes refer things out. We, you know, our attorneys in the Cardozo Society sometimes are able to take on a case pro bono, and that real extended litigation work or legal work of any kind that someone, if they never attended the clinic, maybe they never would have gotten. And the other thing we can do is refer you out to other community organizations. There are a lot of good people in the Twin Cities community, in the St. Paul community, and across the state, working to serve the underserved in many ways. And sometimes finding the right person to help you is half the battle. You
know, right.
First, you got to get in conversation and in relationship with someone who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so easy to find that because it's a complicated system. You don't even know what your legal problem really is or whatever the situation is. So it's really holistic. We want to meet folks where they're at and go from there.
That's huge, because I know the legalese is really confusing at times for people that aren't, including myself, hip to the legal system. But to me, it sounds like, you know, not only if you're in crisis and need help, but it also sounds like just to maneuver, like I said, like a living will, I wouldn't know who to go to. And maybe you guys can, someone can help me in the process. And then also, point me in the right direction. That would be really valuable for me.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's legal issues. And it's also sometimes non-legal issues. Someone will come in, and maybe they've been sued.
Right.
And if you don't know what the legal system, all of the intricacies, it can be confusing, but you only have a certain amount of time to respond. And if you don't, then you could potentially be in default on a legal action. So someone comes in, we can help them write an answer to a complaint. And that sometimes is very confusing. Sometimes people come in, they think they have a legal issue and it's really more of a business issue. And we can help look at documents or contracts and help think about, okay, well, what's a reasonable path forward, interpret complex legalese and put it into plain language. So the message here, I'll just repeat it again. I can't repeat it enough.
Yeah.
Come to the Progressive Baptist Church on the dates listed on interfaithaction.org. And it's the Power Up Clinic. So on interfaithaction.org, you can scroll down and it's under programs and click on Community Power Up. And the dates are listed there. And we have numerous attorneys who are excited to give back to the community and do this for free. Mm-hmm. And there's no commitment on your end. All you do have to do is show up and we'll have a conversation. And hopefully you leave better than you entered. And that's the goal, is we can elevate everybody, lift everyone up.
Yeah. And
move forward together.
No, that's awesome. And I don't know, Haley, do you got any address to add to it? And so we can get that out there. Because this is a really quick interview, but there's so much information here that people really, I'm excited to have you on here and talk to our listeners about this, because this is, this is a game changer for a lot of people, because we get calls, you know, from my other job. How can I get help? This is happening. They didn't do this. They didn't follow the contract. You know, just things that I'm clueless about, Haley.
I know. Well, me too. And I think, yeah, this is an amazing resource for anyone who needs it. You know, if you're having troubles with landlord, tenant, or property issues, divorce, or, you know, issues in the family, parenting time, custody of, you know, family or other family issues, debt collection, impounded cars, probate, employment. But I just want to remind everyone, so these free clinics through Interfaith and the Power Up Community Clinics happen, they're available twice per month on Thursday afternoons. And there is a certain time to come in person. So you'll want to come to 12:30 to 3 p.m. on the days of those clinics. And by phone, they recommend that you call right at 12:30 on those Thursdays. And the number for that is 651-222-5863.
And again, interfaithaction.org too. Wow, Greg, this is something that we want to play over and over again in the best of, because this is huge, huge information. And we really appreciate you being on the show, Greg Aronson. And I said that correct. Oh,
so let me just give you a very quick preview of what you do. So you show up on the Thursday on the dates there. And then we have a wonderful person from SMRLS, that's the Southern Minnesota Regional Legal Services, and they'll be there and you'll meet them and they'll help triage your situation. And if we can help you, we will connect you with the attorneys who are volunteering that day, and we'll have a conversation. And it's a one-time conversation for free, and you can ask your questions and we can point you in the right direction.
Perfect.
Check it out.
Perfect. Pina Gigi, thanks for being on, and thank you for doing giving back to the community in such a good way. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh! That was a good one, wasn't it?
That was pretty great.
All right, right on. Hey, so I'm here with Haley Cherry, the producer of Native Roots Radio, and also my Chujunk, my niece. And we're just going to wrap up the show here. It was a really good show. Robert Logren's always on fire. And let me tell you, it's great to get updates from our political friends across Turtle Island, like Tony Evers. And then this week we had the Kamala's husband on, which was just awesome. And we appreciate. Yeah. And I just got a phone call, too, today, Haley, that they're setting up an interview with our I can't think of her name. Shoot, let's keep going. I'll figure it out here in a second. But it's okay. A national figure, and we talk about her all the time. And as a matter of fact,
Charisse Davis.
I have a picture of her right behind
Neb Holland.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you'll be getting an email to set up an interview, and it's that time of year, though. We're really talking politics, and we're going to bring our politician friends in to really set the record straight, because, I was watching Super Tuesday on MSNBC, and all these networks play Trump, and all he does is lie. And, I mean, that's not even an exaggeration.
I know.
It's just whatever comes out of his mouth, and he's got his minions that are just cheering away for all these lies. And It's just a big grift for him to, now he's got to pay almost half a billion dollars in fines in New York. And also the case, the sexual assault case that he lost. And he's just begging people for money, and they're giving him money. And it's just a big grift. And we need to not listen to the... to the mainstream media and really come in and vote, because he's never won the popular vote once. Against Hillary, lost by 3 million votes, and he lost to Biden with 8 million votes. And we outnumber him, and he sounds like he's losing people too with these last primaries here with Nikki taking a lot of the sensible Republican vote.
Right. And then kind of discouraging the people that were voting for other Republican parties for coming and supporting him just isn't really the best kind of move for any political candidate, really. But
right.
That's Donald you know, that's the orange guy for you.
Yeah. And then people were saying, it was funny, I heard a national talking head say this, but they were talking about how like, you know, Obama really aged in 8 years as a president, and because he had the stress of the world on him, and also Biden's working hard and being, you know, aging before our eyes, and Trump hasn't aged at all because he didn't do anything.
No. Well, and Trump didn't, you know, get us through a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic.
No, he did terribly. That was the only thing he had to work on, and he failed miserably.
Right. Well, you know, you just gotta, you know, remember that he's not doing anything for Indian country, and he's, you know, proven that in his last run. But, you know,
yeah, I always bring up the fact too, Haley, that Trump's second day in presidency. Now, we were almost a year long, 8-9 month long battle, and a literal battle with the government, with sheriffs from all over the country coming to Standing Rock and beating down Native Americans and water protectors that were peacefully protesting. His second day, he signed a bill that they could but to start digging underneath the Missouri River again to for Enbridge's, Dakota Access Pipeline's pipeline. The second day right. that he was president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And voting for someone like that who cares absolutely nothing about our Mother Earth and the environment and, you know, what goes into our water supply and, you know, just not a good guy. He's, yeah, does not have my vote at all. So.
Right. Well, and, you know, I understand too, we had almost 50,000 votes that voted none of the above here. And to give Biden a big message that, hey, we didn't vote for someone else, like Robert Lilligren said earlier in the show, but we're voting really no competence because of what's going on with Israel and Palestine. And we know as Native Americans what genocide's all about and the attempt at genocide. And he has to step up and not fund and make sure there's a ceasefire that's more than 6 weeks. And so people that voted for him in the past want to vote for him again, but they want to send him a message. And definitely, you know, when it comes to the national election, they're going to vote for Biden, or most are going to vote for Biden. But they're not going to vote for Trump because Trump will blow everything up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, so enough politics. We got a few minutes here. Haley, do you got anything that's going on this weekend across Turtle Island or here in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, well, tomorrow, and I think we'll probably hopefully talk about this with State Senator Mary Kunish. But tomorrow, March 8th, is the National Day of Action for searching the landfill. So all across Turtle Island, across some of our more urban cities and reservation areas, I know a lot of people will be wearing red. There's a community event going on. I know in East Vancouver, shout out some of our relatives out in that direction. That'll be taking place from 11 to 1. There'll be speakers, prayers, and just overall bringing awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives and the light that we need to put onto these landfills and hopefully bringing them home.
Absolutely. And it's never ending. And we still see that daily, that we still have our relatives being snatched right in front of us that go disappearing, and that we need to keep talking about this and have this in the forefront, because people forget. And we know that we don't want people to forget about our relatives, especially that are disappearing and that are being, you know, or just disappearing, you know. And I guess I wanted to talk too about the violence towards Native American women. You know, I had a guest on a long time ago, and he was at a powwow, and he was a white ally, and somebody told to him, he said, these women dancers are out there are amazing at this powwow. And I remember him telling me that this person said, look at one out of three of these people, these women here that you see dancing these young, you know, jingle dress dancers or whatever kind of dancers out there during the powwow, one out of three will be abused sexually one way or another. And right. That's one out of three.
Right. And just mentioning, too, since we're on the topic of our MMIR, this says we have a community search going on in Minnesota. This is coming from our MMIR office, state office here. And this search will be for Jeremy Jourdain. This community search will take place Saturday, March 30th. And Jeremy was last seen in October of 2016. Jeremy is a male American Indian with brown hair. He's about 6 feet, 4 inches and 180 pounds. You know, this community search will take place at Seven Clans Casino in Red Lake, Minnesota, Saturday, March 30th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, if you're up there listening, which I know we have a lot of Red Lakers and a lot of our relatives up there in the north listening to us on Facebook or YouTube, or in TuneIn, which you can listen to us on AM950's TuneIn app. Just log in AM950 and you can hear us live on your laptop or on your phone, or that's how I listen to the radio. But you can definitely listen and to us, and we support you up there. And I just want to say we support you, and thanks for bringing that up, Haley.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.